Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hello, everybody. It's the Sunday show with Gwen Berry, Jack Jodell, and your friend F. Wayne Johnson.
Wayne Johnson calling from the Eastern Shore of Maryland today.
And here's our intro music.
This is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters, and Jack has already introduced us. Thank you, Jack. I do get
you
to
bet,
it.
You bet.
Just using the, we just had some sound boom back, forth, and back and forth again from the control board here. I hear the feedback. Sorry about that to the audience out there. Well, before we got on, we were talking about what's gone on this week, and it's pretty apparent that the military industrial complex and Wall Street have won the perpetual war argument because we're in perpetual war. It was like deja vu listening to Obama. I felt like, oh my God, I mean, this is Bush all over again. It's about...
Yeah. Anything and to keep the war wheels greased, you know, and to keep things going. And I'm sure every defense contractor in the country was overjoyed at the speech.
Well, yeah. You know, the other part about this is, too, Jack, is that as a chess strategy of war, the U.S. just, and this is impossible in chess, but their opening move is always to sacrifice the bishop. If the terrorists want your attention, they could run a flag up in Bali, you know, and mm-hmm. and we react to it. And what Mr. Obama did was react to the terrorists instead of taking a step back and saying, you know what, we have to think about this. We have to think about the direction in which we're going and what it will cost. Not just America, but other nations.
Because
sure. war in any strategy is a failure of leadership.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, he had Dick Cheney out there previously lambasting him, saying that it was his fault and that he was secretly or, you know, inadvertently aiding these guys. And this preposterous stuff, I don't know where Cheney comes off with this stuff, but he really ought to be in jail, to be honest with you. He's crazy.
Agreed.
And the Jordanian ambassador was on talk television this morning just spouting all kinds of crap to push that agenda along and saying that we are not doing enough. We're not reacting enough to these terrorists. This is the Jordanian diplomat sitting there saying he was the foreign minister for Jordan, and he's sitting there telling you stuff that is only going to egg on the war hawks
and then of course Lindsey Graham and John McCain pick it up without a beat and without dropping a beat, and they just parallel the same old stuff. You know, it's what was that? What Jordanian minister? What show was he on?
I think he was on the end of Candy Crowley's State of the Union.
Oh, well, there you go. Mainstream media. They'll happily put up all that bull crap, you know. It's typical.
Yeah, but it's what people are listening to
sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it
They're
really
getting misinformed.
Is. Well, they are. And the thing is that someone like a Jordanian minister to be pushing us into war is outrageous. I was offended. I was really
exactly.
offended. I mean, I'm an American citizen who pays taxes, and for many years I paid capital gains. And all my money being spent on war machines is terrible enough, but the most atrocious part about it is that he is casually telling the American public and really pointing it at the War Hawks to get their goat so that more American lives and service people are sacrificed in the
sure.
name of war machine that he's profiting by too.
Well, now they've come up with this slick move that we won't do it directly. We'll see about that. But we're going to just use our drones and our bombs and our tactical airstrikes and all this stuff. But, you know, that's just war by proxy. We've been through all that crap before. And it's just all it is perpetual warfare, one after another after another. Eventually it's going to be either in or around or concerning Iran. And that's where they're heading. That's where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. I have to interject. What comes to my mind here is, for those who have read the book 1984,
mm-hmm.
where, again, there was
right.
always a perpetual war going on because that's
right.
what the economy of Europa and all those were based on.
Yep.
And it was always these, you know, and every time they had cutbacks of, you know, the de-escalation of the social welfare problems,
right.
instead of saying, I'll just throw this as an example, you know, the production of milk used to be like, say, 500 gallons, and says,
mm-hmm.
well, the production of milk has just increased to 400 gallons, you know, the newspeak, right? So that's what
the newspeak is. It's propaganda.
The newspeak.
It's all bullshit.
Again, the yep. perpetual, constant war.
And we're in that courtesy of the mainstream media because they are owned corporately and corporations love to make money off spectacles and warfare. And you look at Fox News is a big proponent of this stuff. They love to gin up any kind of anti-Muslim topics they can, any kind of
sure.
fear they can. They'll be at the helm of it, and it's just typical. And you know the only place you hear the accurate, true news and the real questions being asked and answered is on Amy Goodman and Tom Hartman, and that's not on mainstream media. You've got
here be monsters, by the way. I want to add that.
There you
in
go.
There.
Exactly.
Gentlemen, there are a lot of different shows. I mean, if you listen to, I often mention him and haven't enough in the last few weeks. Dennis Traynor Jr. is an acronym now.
Yes, right. And that's on Free Speech TV on occasion, by the way.
Yes. And also, you could go over to RT and catch Lee Camp's Redacted Tonight.
Right.
And where he does it much in a Bill Maher kind of style with humor
mm-hmm.
attached to it. He still
right.
makes very poignant news releases,
points.
Should we
oh,
say.
Yeah.
There are a lot of places to find Al Jazeera. I still listen to Al Jazeera,
that's
and
right.
I still listen
yeah.
to RT or Russian television.
Well,
even
the point is, you're not going to get it on MSNBC, you're not going to get it on CNN, and you're definitely not going to get it on Fox News.
Or ABC.
Or ABC or CBS or NBC. Right.
Right. It's just...
Even public stations are not right on the ball.
Well, and you could count on
NPR.
Going over... First thing in the morning, yeah, NPR has been diluted.
It's been corporatized.
Yeah, you could go over first thing in the morning and catch BBC World
right.
News. And now BBC World News is shaded and jaded in a few different ways. You can tell by what they're not saying right now.
Exactly. Well, that's partly because the conservatives have taken control over that government. And even beforehand, when the Labor Party was ruled by that Tony, whatever his name was, that was friendly with George W. Bush,
Tony
they got
Blair.
Misguided on all that stuff. Yeah, right. They got mislaid on all that stuff.
Well, David Cameron is just the same cup of tea, as they would
say.
Oh,
he's terrible.
And have you guys...
He's trying to slowly privatize their medical system.
Slowly. He's
That's one of the reasons why Scotland wants to leave the UK.
Right.
Because
yeah.
of that.
Exactly.
They were
going to have a plebiscite here real quick on that, and they're going to make a decision as to whether they're going to stick around in the Commonwealth or leave it.
Do you think that the true boys on the, you know, what they call the true vote for Scotland will win?
Well, they say right now it's up in the air, neck and neck.
Yeah, neck and neck. Yeah.
Right. Well, also, too, the First Minister of Scotland has basically said, you know, like the big banking corporations, like the Bank of Scotland says, well, if you secede, we're going to leave and go to London. And he's saying, go.
Go,
you know,
get
we're
out of
go
here.
The euro here. We're going to divest ourselves of you anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but you're not going to your corporations are not going to decide which way we're going to vote. We're going to vote for what is good for the people of Scotland.
Good for them.
And,
good for them.
Yeah, you know,
I hope
said,
they succeed.
It's a 50-50 either way right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it is right now.
The Tartans, the clans, you know, the clan heads are advising
oh,
most
and for,
of
for the listeners, that's spelled with a C and not a K.
Right. Important to make that distinction.
Yes, absolutely.
They are advising their clans to vote for Scotland for secession.
Right.
In the most part, there are a couple of notable exceptions, but they, of course, are corporate-held families. I mean, you know, they have something to lose. Then again, there's large corporations in Scotland that won't move. That it won't matter to them. And Scotland, the adversaries for secession have said that they will be sticking to the English pound as their currency. They said that.
Okay.
So, I mean, because the euro is, again, in trouble.
Right.
You got to figure that's the reason that they're, you know, being very loyal about the funds. Yeah, that's
right.
And the Royal Bank of Scotland is the Royal Bank of England anyway, and they're not going to close down. They're going to have branches there. That's just a...
Absolutely.
They're not going to
do business wherever they think they can do business. And
that's a bunch of blusterous talk.
The area of Scotland
is
too big to thumb your nose at.
Yeah, that's just a bunch of blusterous talk on their part.
Yeah.
Very
good. Wait, well,
and the point is that the Queen did come out yesterday with something. She said to somebody, she's in Scotland right now at Balmoral, and apparently she was close to the public, and she did say, well, the Scots should think very carefully about their vote, and that was all she said.
Well, yeah, we don't know exactly her implications.
But all should, no matter what you're voting on, you
exactly.
should think carefully about the way you cast your vote. But you know.
Right.
Absolutely. But, well, she's no bloodline of Longshanks, so.
Well,
she's
a master of the cryptic phrase, so you can draw any conclusion you want from that. And I myself, at this point, don't know quite exactly what she is getting at there, but she's
just being diplomatic,
I'm sure.
I would not be as surprised at all if she was for the secession just on the basis of history.
I never know.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. But this is, of course, William Wallace's dream. And
exactly.
The tartans are all flying right now. Every house in Scotland has colors. So, and
yeah,
you
well, Johnson, my surname, came from Scotland, and I know what my tartan colors are.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a little bit of a
well,
side
raise
note
thy
there.
Kilt.
Yeah. Yeah, I got one. Yeah, but I'm a little more conservative in that aspect. I do wear underwear.
Well, the point is people wanting to secede and to break away from powers that they feel are just too powerful over them. That's
right,
not,
and indirectly, that's a slap at the U.S. corporate system.
Right. Even here, I mean, I'll tell you what, if the people of the state of Florida or the people of the Southeast decided to put a non-accredited conclave together and say, let's secede from the United States, honey, I'd be right in there listening.
There'd be a lot of people that have split opinions on that, and you can be sure that the U.S. government wouldn't allow that to happen without a fight.
Right. Plus, too, I would have to say, Glenn, in your scenario, the Southeast area, the word clan in this case would be spelled with a K.
I'm not talking
very
about
true.
The Southern redneck.
Very true.
Klan or any
those Southern rednecks, right.
Right.
Yeah, or any of the racist portion. I'm talking about states saying, you know what, this country does not serve me. It has not served me. There are enough people walking around without health care. There's enough homeless people. The poor are being tread on. I mean, it's an atrocious state.
Tell me, Gwen, we haven't heard lately the real word on what's happening with Rick Scott. Is he gonna get beat this time around, or what's going to happen to him?
Charlie Crist has given him a real run for his money, but you're talking about which is the lesser evil around here.
Right.
There's no real Democrat that's run. And I was unable to cast a vote because I'm independent. So
isn't Charlie Crist now, doesn't he consider himself now a Democrat? I thought he switched parties.
He did.
Well, that's a true statement, but, you know, Rose by any other name in this case still stinks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
In my my opinion, and I've considered it, and I know that the most important politics are the local ones, I will not cast a vote for Rick Scott, and if there is if there's no independent listed, as it looks like there will not be, I will be voting for Crist.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure most people out there would agree with you on. You know, it's the lesser of two evils. And we know one evil is very evil, and that's Rick Scott. He's horrible.
Well, Rick Scott has a great big following here amongst, because he's paid for all his time on the television for the last 3 months. He's got a lot of people convinced that he's brought hundreds of thousands of jobs to Florida, which is an outright lie.
What a liar.
He's got a lot of people thinking that he has enabled a revamping and a rescue of the Everglades, which he has not. He's sold out to Big Sugar quicker than Crist ever thought.
He's got all the low-information voters buffaloed, in other words.
He's got a lot of people thinking that he'll bring more jobs and things will get better. Even migrants, you know, are like, you know, it's all about television.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And you bet, you can bet the Koch brothers and everybody else will be funneling him all kinds of money appear as often as he can on TV.
They're very apparent in this area. They're very apparent.
The Koch brothers have already bought up, not just in that race, but they bought up 44,000 That's 44,000 different political ads, time for political ads across the country. Those guys, they're sneaky, they work behind the scenes, and they use their money in a very detrimental way. Those guys are horrible.
I agree with you. I mean, there's nobody who doesn't, you know.
And what's his face, that rich Las Vegas billionaire, what's his name? That sour face guy. I forgot his name.
You have him in your blog.
Yeah, I know. I forgot his name. I can see his face, but I can't remember his name. He's so repugnant, I don't even remember his name. But at any rate, he's active behind the scenes a lot, too. All of those guys are.
Yeah. There's a lot of bad, there's a lot of bad energy out there.
They want to buy the government. You know, now that Citizens United is made it possible for them to do so, they want to go ahead and do it. They want to buy the government. They want to buy all the favor they can. They want to buy all the legislation they can get. It'll benefit them.
I was interested to see in a friend of mine posts on his blog in the last couple of weeks, a couple of posts for compelling reasons to be a progressive. And in a part one of the series, he names off some really wonderful reasons. The first one would be global warming. The second one would be the wealth disparity. The third
that was my last post, Gwen.
Yeah.
That was my last post.
That was
part one.
Because I read it, too.
That was part one, and it's very true.
The third is environmentalism. In the second post, he goes down the road very well. of course, we all know now it's Jack. But
right.
Putting an end to perpetual warfare, getting money out of politics, the gun safety, net neutrality, which I think really belongs at number three or something. But
well, it's a topic all its own because corporations want to take over the Internet and they want to do it their way. They want to slow down access or eliminate access for people that they don't like or that won't make them a profit. So
well, that cat's out of the bag because there is so much e-commerce, Jack, so much of it that extends into all sectors of the community that if they pull that, what they're doing is what it's really about is the speed of your bandwidth.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't want to keep
And if you can't buy something from a slow site, you'll try another site. Hopefully one they're thinking hopefully one that they'll make money off of and that will be favorable to them. That's what they're trying to do, and it's an unfair advantage, and we need the net to be neutral just like it is right now.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course we do. Yeah, no, e-commerce will be the end all say all in that. And if they try to slow down the bandwidth and within 6 months, say, profits drop extraordinarily for businesses, and, you know, shit rolls uphill that way.
Right.
Right.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, a big player on that regard is Netflix, and they're opposed to efforts by these bigger corporations to try and dominate the Internet.
I'm a Netflix aficionado. I
there
watch
you go.
My Netflix. There's great stuff you get on there. For $8 sometimes you can't beat it.
Yeah, and they're opposed to tinkering with the Internet the way that Verizon and AT&T and the rest of these Yahoos want to do.
Well, Comcast, Time Warner,
Comcast
are now opposed to it too because they have
that's good.
With Netflix. And if you slow up Comcast's service, you're going to put them out of business. You're going to get people going over to the satellite dishes.
Yeah.
So the net neutrality has got a real tussle to go through.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. That's very good to hear. That makes me more hopeful that they'll. Now the decision was supposed to have been reached. I haven't heard how it was reached, but it was supposed to be reached by Tom Wheeler, who's the head of the FCC, who determines all that stuff. And they were going to look at it. And they have a history, incidentally, of in the past, they weren't always that favorable to good things happening on the Internet. But we'll see how they decide because there's quite a big uproar going on about this topic, this net neutrality now. And we'll hope that we prevail in that regard.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if anybody has seen the news about the young man who tried to, gain citizenship in North Korea.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't hear about that. Interesting.
The one that got sentenced to 6 years of hard labor?
Oh,
right.
My God.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Because he wanted to get in? He wanted to get in?
Well, what happened is that the court... North Korea's Supreme Court convicted this 24-year-old American of entering the country illegally to commit espionage and sentenced him to 6 years of hard labor. What happened is the court said that Matthew Miller of Bakersfield, California, tore up his tourist visa at Pyongyang Airport upon arrival on April 10th and admitted to having the wild ambition of experiencing prison life so he could secretly investigate North Korea's human rights situation.
Well, I applaud his courage, but I don't think he's very brilliant. I think that's a stupid
question. Yeah, that's...
I think what it was...
That's like saying I might as well point a gun to my head and pull the trigger just to see what it'd be like. That's a pretty stupid move.
No, the young man actually entered with the idea of seeking asylum.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's totally different.
And they turned it around. Said it was a ruse and that Miller also falsely claimed to have secret information about U.S. military in South Korea.
That makes more sense.
iPhone. Yeah, it's a really, you know, stupid young Americans are getting a real name in the world right now for getting themselves into trouble. I mean,
I guess.
Backpack in Iran? Really? I mean, it's just not smart. And this is another instance of something like that happening. And now, of course, it's an international topic.
Right.
Now, I'd almost invoke the Darwinism of survival of the fittest. His gene pool's gone.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty foolhardy move. Any way you look at it,
yeah,
pretty
exactly.
Foolhardy. Yeah, as if, first of all, I think it's very naive to expect that the North Koreans will just laud him and welcome him and let him do whatever he wants to do. That's I wonder about the guy's sanity. I mean, how could you possibly believe that that would happen? You know, he approached that very foolhardy vein, I would say.
Did he think he was going to go in there as a missionary, like a disciple for Christ?
Well, they don't allow that.
Become a citizen and start preaching the word of God, and God will protect him, and yada yada yada.
No,
he was just a young adventurer who wanted to get away with something, and it really.
I wonder how that's going to resolve itself. If he'll get rescued somehow diplomatically, or if he's going to end up doing hard labor, or what's going to happen to him.
Well, 6 years of hard labor can really change it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, well,
turn him into a 75-year-old man.
Well,
not in itself, it was probably close to being a death sentence itself. So.
Right, yeah.
Well, this week also, I know this is a wonderful topic to bring up. The race is on. Hillary and Bill were out in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time.
So was Bernie Sanders of Vermont.
Uh-huh, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, he was there too.
Seek the presidency in 2016 also. I'm wondering what you guys think.
Oh, I'd love it. I think his agenda, he'd suffer the same fate Obama has regarding his agenda passed, but I would applaud his decision to do so because he's one of the clear-thinking individuals that really are in the Senate right now. There's a lot of dubious behavior coming from a lot of those senators and ex-senators like Hillary Clinton.
I got to ask you a question, guys. Do you really think if Bernie Sanders was elected president that anything different would happen?
Well, that's my point. He doesn't have a congressional base to draw from. He doesn't have any friends in Congress that would go to bat for him, I don't think. It would be a nice dream if they would, but I can't imagine that miracle occurring. Can you, Wayne?
I was going to say, he's an independent, which means he has no infrastructure to be able to draw along or try to influence. Boy, you're talking about the floating proverbial in the punch bowl.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, and he would be very ineffectual.
Right.
He'll be so ineffectual. He can have a voice and he might be able to shed some influential light. The way he's seeing things and trying to get this way, that way. But when it comes down to it, the political machines, no matter what spectrum
they'd be allied against him so fast.
None of them are going to accept it, and he's not going to have a...
And, by the slim chance that he were to be elected president, undoubtedly he'd have some coattails. He'd probably go in with a handful of like-minded senators and representatives, but it would be nowhere near the majority he'd need to get his agenda passed.
No, the bottom line, the political parties in this case, because he does lean more and vote towards with Democrats.
Right.
He might, pull off a couple, but for the most part, the large bloc will just circle the wagons and say, you're on your own.
Sure. They'd call him a socialist, and they'd unite with the Republicans against him.
Yeah.
That's what would happen. And I don't know what the Tea Party would do. I'm anxious to see what happens to the Tea Party this election. They might just end up shooting themselves in the foot. I hope they do, but we'll see.
Well, I'm right there with you, Jack. As you know,
I'm no fans
about
of the Tea Party.
Purging that extreme idiocy. And,
oh, yes.
you talk about your low-information voters.
Right.
You know, all it
there
is is a band of
rabid,
racial
crazy people
and
that are fanatical and
homophobic.
I'm thinking that you gentlemen are pretty well convinced that Hillary will be the one running the Democrat side of the street in the next election.
I tend to think so.
You don't have to be a
Democrat. Yeah, I don't see anybody on the horizon that, I mean, there's somebody who's going to come out and try to put a challenge on her.
Yeah.
But, again, the political machine
Joe Biden
a pretty... I'll say it this way. The political machine is really a steamroller.
Right. It is.
Slow and steady, and it'll just bowl you right over.
Yeah, good way to put it. Very good way to put it. So I think we're going to end up with a second corporate Democratic president. I don't see any Republican knocking her off. Ted Cruz has this fantasy that he's somehow going to capture the Republican nomination. And Rand Paul think they're going to capture the GOP nomination. If they do, who cares? Because they will go down in flames, both of them. Ted Cruz is especially crazy. I don't like that guy even. He reminds me so much of Joe McCarthy. He's so devious, so self-centered. He even looks like him. You know, he's a goofball.
That's a very good analogy. I like that, Jack.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
So it's amazing. It's just like what Glenn's got to deal with in Florida.
Right.
You know, so there's no way in God's little green earth is she going to vote for Scott. And the only other choice on the ballot is, what's his name? Yeah, thank you. It'll be the same thing. It'll be whatever sacrificial lamb the Republicans try to put up.
Sure.
Because that's all John McCain was a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, and you know, Robert Dole was before him, too, and they've had a lot of those lately. And,
Mitt
Romney was, too.
Mitt Romney was a sacrificial lamb, yeah.
Do you see anybody going up to run for president who has a chance that will put a stop to war?
Oh, my goodness. And I'm saying, I'll lead off with this one, Jack. Like you said, Glenn, all the news and media sources are all ginning up, and we will be led down the primrose path
again,
as we always have before. So
right,
I don't
exactly
care who gets in there. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Hillary's more militaristic than Barack Obama even, so we'll see what happens.
You sound like David. He's saying the same thing right now in the chat.
That's very true, though.
Yeah, I agree with you. She's been out there for 4 years flying the plane all around to put that TPP treaty in place so that corporations have say over environmentalism on a global basis. That woman should be thrashed, okay?
Yeah, TPP's got to go.
And anybody who stands in my face and tells me that I'm anti-feminist and against women because I support Hillary Clinton, no, it's happened already.
Well, we've all agreed for the most. I think most of us have agreed for the most part that if you're going to have a woman president rather than Hillary, it should be Elizabeth Warren. She's got her head screwed on straight.
I love Elizabeth Warren.
So do I.
But the thing is that she's not going to challenge the status quo. Go up against Hillary.
Right.
But you give me the choice of the two. Elizabeth Warren would have been my vote.
Well, Hillary might take her as a running mate just to kind of silence her that way and keep her out of her hair.
That's a good point. I see somebody more younger and future upcoming, like Martin O'Malley, the governor of Maryland, a younger man. In other words, you're still putting that male on the ticket.
Right.
He's going to be lead, but you still have to have that male on the ticket.
That's the only thing that would keep Warren off the ticket, I think. Yeah, good point.
Are you aware of how Elizabeth Warren stood on the matter of Israel? Are you aware of her side?
Oh, yeah, she's very, very pro-Israel, I know. Very pro-Israel.
I'm not going to
condemn her on one issue, though, Gwen. I can't do that. I'm sorry. She's too right on when it comes to Wall Street reform. She wants to bash those guys, and I'm with her 100% on that.
The overall spectrum of her viewpoints I would say that it would be more in line with agreeing with her on most of them, and on that fact, I'd have to stick with her.
Right, same here.
She's been unable to make any changes so far, as far as...
Well, neither has Bernie Sanders.
Well,
does that mean they're bad?
Say,
does that mean they should be discarded?
No, you're correct, Jack. You're correct.
And I have to kind of disagree because she has motivated a lot of the base in the Democratic Party, those with the clear, sensible thinking of the mind.
Right.
And also, too, we are seeing more now of... strikes, like for McDonald's and things like that, saying, hey,
yes,
we deserve a living
like
wage. Let's cut out this economic enslavement.
Right. I like that.
I agree with you on the economics and her stance on it. However, when it comes to warfare, which has put us so deep in the hole, when she's so pro-Israel and anxious for them to be able to commit war, what is she going to be like as far as the presidency goes? And committing
well,
us to
that we don't know, but I don't believe that she'd come out strongly for the military-industrial complex. I just have a hard time believing that. I don't think you've studied her long enough to convince me that she would do that. I don't think she would. We'll have to see. We don't know at this point. We're just speculating needlessly and foolishly. We don't know. We need more time. We need to see more evidence of her inclination. And until we do, it's pointless for us to speculate.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jack. I was just giving you some of the evidence in my speculation. Anyone who's pro-Israel and Israel's right to commit war in Palestine like that, I have some reservations about that. That doesn't
and I don't blame you for that at all. I also wanted to, I'd also like to examine her the content of her statements on that topic before I really make any judgment. I knew she came out basically pro-Israel, but to what degree and in what regard, I don't know. So I've got to find out.
Okay. I read some of her statements.
Mm-hmm.
And she does feel that she has, she does feel that Israel has the right to protect itself.
Well, I agree with her on that 100%.
I can't say that I can't disagree with that.
Yeah,
every sovereign nation has a right to
protect
itself.
Building illegal settlements, I don't call that protection.
It's a buffer zone.
You know, when you guys are talking semantics like that, the euphemism for Israel's right to invade and to crush and to create these open-air prisons has been their right to protect themselves by American politicians. And that's how it's a buffer.
Yeah, well, that's not so much the annexation of the West Bank of territories because of the seven-day war back in 67. Against what had been Syria territory. I can't say that that's...
And
well,
what
that's creating
the
problems.
Done,
that's not solving anything.
What the Israelis have done since then is they've really aggravated and they've hyper-Zionated, if I can use that word, that term, their stance, because they've gone from just having the land in their possession and supposedly administering it, at least in those days, a lot more fairly than they are now, to actually building and stealing Arab land, Palestinian land, and putting Israeli settlements on that land. You know, that's a whole different thing. They didn't do that in 1967. It took them some years to do that.
No.
But
in recent
years, though, they have done that, and that's a bad thing.
Yeah, Jack, basically, I agree with you. And what has happened in Israel is that, like during the Bush years here, it's profoundly politically overpopulated with right-wingers in the Knesset, who are steering Israel, much against many of her citizens' wishes.
Very true.
Into this.
Let's hope that minority is growing.
Yeah, well.
We don't know. They keep electing these guys. They keep electing Netanyahu and those kind of, and Sharon and those kind of people. But, you know, eventually I think Israelis are going to, they're not going to buy that line anymore, and I think the old guard is going to die off. I'm hoping.
Well, I have to kind of disagree with you on that one, because if it were just general everyday stuff, that would be one thing, but we're dealing with religion. And extreme right is the extreme religious.
Yeah.
And the expansion of the new areas into the West Bank gives the extreme religious right that many more votes in the Knesset.
It sure does. That's true.
It's like saying, you're going to get rid of guns, and Colorado and Wyoming and all these cowboy states are going to go along with us.
Yeah. It's wrong for me to parallel this with the U.S. To a certain extent, you can. Look at the ebb and the flow of the religious right in this country. During George Bush's first term and the first part of his second term, they were incredibly powerful, and they actually got him elected in 2004. Or, you know,
this is Daddy
re-elected.
Bush?
What's that?
Oh, you're talking about Goofy
No, no,
Bush.
No, the younger Bush, too, you know, the bad one.
Yeah, right. Well,
he's
you're
really
right.
Bad.
And to elaborate on that, which is basically supporting what you're saying, is I had actually heard the words coming out of people's mouths as, oh, he's just like Jesus. I love him so much.
Oh, I know. I've heard people talk like that, too. Oh, if they only knew how foolish, you know, utterly stupid.
Oh, well, see, he was a born-again Christian, which means I'm a Christian. I'm going to vote for him. Yeah, you're religiously, deluded.
You know, guys, I got to say, I've heard a lot of rabbis and cantors come out against what Israel is doing, from Israel from his country.
Very true.
Crow brings up the fact that the U.S. backs Israel no matter what. Even when the U.S. speaks against Israel, they privately support them. Almost every death that occurs over there occurs at the end of our rifles, our bullets, our bombs, and our intelligence. He's really correct.
Right.
And that's because Israel has AIPAC. They have the lobbying money to keep these guys sitting in D.C.
And
the worst rednecks in town are supported by Israeli money. And that's just the way it is. It's become about it all comes down to the money, doesn't it?
Oh, it always does.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Well, I'm sure we've all heard the old adage, money is the mother milk of politics.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think I've heard Warren say that she's all for taking the money out of the political.
And that's a kind of a conflicting statement in a way, isn't it? But that's why I say we have to see. We have to see exactly. We need to hear more from her and see what she writes and how she legislates.
What I do admire is that she is not a pushover for Hillary.
I'll concede that one to you too.
She's steadfastly opposed to Wall Street shenanigans, and on that topic alone, I support her 100%.
I'm with you there, Jack.
You bet.
What do you think? Do you think perhaps that coming election cycles that, you know, it's going to be here pretty fast. Next year, they're going to start rolling. If they don't start rolling, what kind of a campaign do you think that Hillary would run? I'm real interested on what you think she would.
Oh, you know what? Bill's going to help her all the way, and she'll be a continuation of the quote-unquote new Democrats, which means the corporate Democrats. And she'll be saddling up to Wall Street, and she'll be begging money off of those guys, and she'll be getting it. And she'll get the money that Obama lost during his reelection bid. She'll get that back for herself and like-minded Democrats. So that's why I say she's undoubtedly going to win the presidency if, in fact, she decides to run, barring a miracle. She's going to win, and she's going to do it again like Obama did with corporate money. And she's going to be beholden to them, and she will deliver for them.
I mean, Obama created a platform. You know, hope was his hope and change was his platform.
That was his slogan.
Right. Well, and he did dish out a lot of words on it. I'm asking you what you think she's going to stand on. What will be her platform? What will be her issue pounder?
Well, she'll find a way, I'm sure, to prepare us for TPP. You know, I think she will in certain respects. And she'll give us this pro-business stuff the way Bill did, you know. Bill gave us NAFTA and gave us Wall Street deregulation. And, you know, she'll couch it in such a gentle way that people won't get an uproar over it. But, you know, once the shit hits the fan, you know, a few years after she's elected and Wall Street acts up again and creates another major chasm, as invariably will happen, then we'll see what happens.
I'm wondering seriously what her platform would be, because for Obama it was not only hope and change, but it was pulling everybody out of Iraq. It was about closing Guantanamo. It was appealing to the liberal point of view.
It sure was. And you know what? Hillary will do that same thing. But in practice, far more important in practice, what's she going to do? And that's what I'm talking about.
Well, no, I'm very interested in how she's going to gather attention from the American public and use a platform that says,
oh, the first credible woman candidate. Now it's her time, it'll be, you know.
You think that's as simple as it is?
It could be. It'll certainly be an important element of it.
Well, I think that's overwhelmingly
I was Secretary of State during a tumultuous time in American relationships, and I helped gain America credence in the world again and all this stuff. And
world stability.
You bet we are.
That'll be one.
You
bet. Work towards world stability of, you know, all the nations getting along. There'll be the environmental sacrificial cow being brought out again.
Sure,
How many do you think voted for Obama because he showed the leadership he did during the fall of the stock market and the crisis?
That one, I would say, the vast majority. Matter of fact,
they thought we were getting a new deal.
Yeah, right. Well, they had a meeting because basically the economy was crashed. We were done.
Yeah.
The banks were shot. We had no economy.
Right.
And they had an emergency meeting under the W. Bush White House.
Right.
John McCain came off of the campaign road to attend that meeting, and
what
Obama went there too.
Was.
And they said, and this was off a front line, they said Obama came in with his financial advisors. They had a plan. They laid it out saying, this is what we knew, A, B, C, boom, boom, boom. McCain had nothing but a stunned look
his
face.
All he had was
Well, guys, McCain said he wasn't going to attend as Obama was on his way there. When he found out Obama was on his way, well, then he got up.
Then he changed horses. That's right. Yeah.
Exactly, which means he was not prepared. That's a very good point. He was not prepared to sit in on that meeting. He only went because Obama was there, and he didn't want Obama to steal the thunder.
Exactly.
Obama came in prepared with a plan, and when it was all said and done, Bush looked over to one of his cabinet members and says, you're going to miss me, aren't you? It's like, yes, yeah, you who destroyed the economy, we're really going to miss you.
But actually, this plot to bail out the banks was hatched under Henry Paulson, before Bush even left office. So we should have seen it coming. It was Bush continued through Obama is what it was. And
yes.
So what did Obama do? He bailed out all the big banks. He just like Bush was going to do and started to do. And it was just a continuation, the same old crap. And Main Street was left far behind.
Exactly. Well, you're absolutely right, Jack.
The chances are that she could get elected president are very high, aren't they, gentlemen?
I think so, yeah.
I would say yes because, number one, it's not so much a vote for Hillary as it is there's no way in hell the Republican Party today with the teabaggers and the libertarians and the fractions of the fractionization of the Republican Party with this extremism,
Yeah, they'll never put up a good
vote
candidate
for them.
Right.
Right. People are, and
they're becoming at a party of old men, you know, mainly southern based, not completely, but mainly southern based,
right.
old crumpled up rednecks that are angry at the world.
It's the John Birch Society, the old Klansmen,
right.
and the Southern Traditionalist.
Yeah, what a coalition, huh?
Exactly.
You guys really think that the Republicans are looking like that right now? I don't pay attention.
Oh, big time.
I really can't say.
The Tea Party has stolen all their thunder. Where are all the moderate Republicans? Where are the liberal Republicans? There's none.
They got
absolutely
purged.
None.
They've got purged. Exactly.
They got purged. They got
primaried
out of office.
So until the coup d'etat happens in the Republican Party again,
goodbye, Republican Party. Now it's corporate Democrats.
I mean, the Republicans run candidates. Guys get into office and stay in office. Guys like Rick Perry. I mean, this guy is stupid.
Well, that's the Tea Party's favorite kind of guy. And they'll spend all kinds of money. And rich industrialists who believe they can mold him, the Koch brothers, they love that guy. Are you kidding? They love that guy.
Right.
They love Rick Scott, too.
Yeah, these are guys who can't even answer
Sheldon
questions.
Adelson, that's the fellow. Sheldon Adelson. He loves that kind of guy, too.
Right, there you go.
It's incredible. Yeah, Sheldon Adelson will tell you he can buy a presidency.
Well, there you go. And he believes he can, and he will try to.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean,
and you know, that would be an absolute unmitigated disaster for this country were that to occur.
Well, okay, let's go back in history and look at William Randolph Hearst. He thought the exact same thing. He had the national voice. He had the money to back it up.
Right.
It still didn't happen.
Well, he put a lot of money behind McKinley, and McKinley got killed, and then the progressive Teddy Roosevelt took over. He didn't count on that. During the Spanish-American War, though, he was riding high in the rank.
He was the ginning up of the Spanish-American War. You're absolutely right, Jack.
Once Teddy Roosevelt ushered in the era of progressivism, that was the end of William Randolph Hearst.
Right. Well, and the thing is maybe this is the segue we need.
I hope you're right.
The Koch brothers and the Sheldons of the
the Koch brothers, all
wealthy influence for
yep.
people to say, you know what? Yeah, you're advertising your programs and your platform. I hear you selling it. I'm not buying it, and I'm going to swing the pendulum the other way. So it could have.
Let's hope that occurs.
Because he's getting up, it could have the inverse reaction to it.
We need a new progressivism, big time. I've been saying it for a long time, and that's exactly what this country needs. And I don't care what banner they want to put on it, as long as the end result is some good progressive legislation that actually gets passed and put into effect.
Before we come to the end of this session, guys, I want to mention that anybody listening in and all of our listeners and to the folks in the chat, hi, guys.
Hello, everybody.
Next, a week from today in New York City is going to be one of the largest gatherings and marches through New York on climate change coming up. People we know who are going to be there. Anita Stewart, who does the Wise Woman Media on Friday nights on Here Be Monsters, will be reporting from there. It's a large, large group of people already gathering for it. So they expect over 200,000 people.
Good. I hope it finally gains the attention of the mainstream media. Maybe something like that might get a little blurb on the mainstream media. I know Tom Hartman and Amy Goodman will be covering it quite extensively, among others.
And so will a few other places.
I
think Dennis Traynor Jr. is going to be involved, and I know Lee Camp, that's his hometown. He'll be there. There are a lot of places to find information on this. Please remember, folks, to tune in to Link TV and to the
Free Speech TV.
Free Speech TV and all
RT.
The places, RT, all the places you can access on the net to give you the alternative media or as we like to say over here in our indie alternative way, the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, just Google Amy Goodman, Google Tom Hartman, that's T-H-O-M, and two N's on the end, Tom Hartman. Google RT, Google Free Speech TV, freespeech.org, Link TV. Those are your resources for good, honest, true news, factual news, without a corporate agenda.
And there are plenty of places you can go online. There's The Nation, there's Grist, there's
yes.
Popular Resistance. There are many places.
Democratic Underground.
Yeah, there's a lot of places. And one of the best places you could go check out postings is over at our sponsors page, and that would be Roundtree7.
Very true.
.com, and that's the number seven, Roundtree7. They do sponsor the Sunday show here on Here Be Monsters, and I want to thank Krell for his contributions.
Thank you.
There are a lot of great writers over there that are putting their thoughts out on what's going on in this world, and having somebody else's other ideas and other opinions, just as well as folks listen to us talk here.
And you can hear from activists like Oso, who's busy in Oakland and San Francisco area with progressive causes and with the poor. And there's all kinds of good resources. Just Google any one of those things that we mentioned, and you'll find reference to all of these things. And they're all good things, and they're all good things that you can learn about and take part in.
Well, it's what it is it's listening to the other opinion, too.
Right.
Many blogs out there are just opinions and commentary, but they give you great information, like Saturday afternoon.
Good insight.
Yeah. The Saturday Afternoon Post, which is penned by Jack Jodell, is a place I go and learn a great deal of history and some of the anchor reasons that we have the problems we have.
Right.
So it's important to get the information. Too many people are out there without the time to really devote to it, but
or they're lazy and they rely on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News to give them their news. They're not getting; they're only getting a part of their news, and it's slanted.
Well, and then people walk out the door saying, "I can't believe it." Well, no, you shouldn't either.
Very true.
I like that.
Very true.
And we also, there's another blog you can go to. Wayne, give them your colors.
It's Minds, M-I-N-D-S, and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. Just put it there.
Very good insightful writing there.
Well, thank you. As we were talking about the extremism in the Republican Party, I would direct you to one of the postings simply labeled, I Told You So, Jack Kemp.
Mm-hmm.
I was, and still consider myself a member of the Republican Party because of the family legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But I have actually sat down and had a one-on-one with, after he lost the vice presidency, of Jack Kemp under Bob Dole, and I warned him about the Republican parties of embracing the Rush Limbaugh type of message and all the extremisms of, embracing this what was basically the Southern John Birch Society and the Klansmen.
Yeah.
And as I told him, I said, we're going to come to a point where we're going to regret it. Well, as we all know, Karl Rove, because the Republican Party has been losing elections by this extremism, is spending millions, if not close to $1 billion, just to purge this extreme element out of the Republican Party. Well, they self-inflicted the cancer into it. It's costed them billions of dollars to get rid of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you. Again, thank you, Gwen. We're at the end of the hour. I want to remind everybody that on Monday evening you can tune in to Spirit Therapy with Nicole Tomasini and see us back here again at on Sunday next. I know Jack will be gone, but Wayne and I will be here.
Yeah.
And thank you. Thank you for listening. This has been the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, F. Wayne Johnson, and Jack. Florida, and everybody else is someplace else. But we're here for an hour on Sunday.
Keep pushing forward.
Absolutely, folks. See you next week.
Well, there we go.